Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan, the old dog will be back momentarily. He'll be dragging Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider, with him into the studio.
Nice.
Yeah, catch up with Dregs here just a little bit later this hour. Our buddy Luke Wilson coming up, big Leaf fan, Luke. So we'll ask him about his feeling going into the game tonight, game six, where the lineup is going to be intact, but Keefe is shifting Nylander back to the third line. So he and Tavares connected, as we know, in game five. They played very well together. But he's flipping those lines around again, and he's spreading the wealth. He's going to have Matthews, Marner, and Bunting together, which I believe should stay intact. And we saw that in game five, and it was successful. But he's got Tavares on the second line. He's got Willie on the third line. I don't know what you make of that move, but it's something we've seen before. But it just the previous lineup worked so well in game five for the second and third period.
It did, but maybe Keefe is seeing that. You know, Johnny T playing a little bit more with confidence. Maybe he can, you know, drive that line. Willie playing with more confidence, drive that line. You know, like you say, spread it out, different look, get him away from coverages, that type of stuff, matchups. You know, it's a matchup game that you can't win because you don't get the last change. So it all looks like that on paper. We were just talking about last hour. You know, McDavid and Draisaitl on paper this morning for Jay Woodcroft, he might, you know, because he doesn't have that last change, he might make that look like that in morning skate, and then one shift in, you start throwing things in the blender. You got to see who's going with your back up against the wall, or even if you're the Leafs, you're trying to end it tonight. So you're trying to mix and match and do everything. What the key is to have everyone in the lineup for you, and then you can figure it out after that. You keep your top line intact. But there were times the other night where Bunting was moved around because I think you could tell he's, you know, not
he's
at 100%.
Laboring, yep.
So, yeah, you throw Willie up there for a shift, that type of stuff. But the key is to get your engine drivers as much ice time as possible. And, you know, in a tight game, that is the key. So, you know, I think it's the right play on paper. You give it, what you're doing is giving John Cooper something to think about.
Right.
But it might not end up
like that.
You don't
have to commit that way. He'll get shifts with Tavares, of course. Willie will move around the lineup because you want to get him minutes.
Exactly.
You know, if he's chugging like he was the other night, then you got to get Nylander on the ice. I think the Leafs are lucky. Tampa's lucky, too. Like, there has not, knock on wood, been any big injuries. You know, like, both lineups are intact. The Leafs have options, and they're putting forth the lineup that they believe is going to give them the best chance of winning tonight, clearly, and that's what John Cooper's going to do. But all the big boys are ready to go, you know, on both sides. So, really, it's advantageous, I guess, for
it's
both
power
teams
on
from
power,
that standpoint.
Really.
But, yeah, exactly. It's power on power. Like, you don't have to reduce anything and try to compensate. You're putting forth a lineup here that you're picking your poison. You've got all your options if you're Sheldon Keefe.
Agreed. Like we just talked about, that series is power on power. Darnell Nurse not available to Edmonton. That's 25 minutes on the back end you've got to figure out. And I think Edmonton will go 11-7 tonight anyways because you do it by committee. I think they called up that Broberg kid. So, you know, you're back up against the wall. You're not saving anybody for anything. So you're going to run those guys right, you know, 25 minutes a night pretty much if it's needed. That's the thing. It'll be interesting to see what Keefe does with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner in that top line. How much minutes
I'm starting
it
them
calls
tonight,
for. Right? Oh, for sure.
Tonight. But you're talking over the course of 60, of course. I mean, I'm running everyone into the ground tonight. I'm emptying the tank because game seven, you don't need any provocation in game seven to find extra energy. Like, there's no reason why you can't come alive in game seven. If you need to, you empty the tank. You make it very clear tonight that you're down there for a win, and that's it, right?
Like right.
I'm curious how Sheldon Keefe is handling his day-to-day operation and if he's doing it any differently than he did last year, the year before, because he's been behind the bench for the collapse against Montreal, the Game 5 loss against Columbus. That was such a weird one in the bubble out of the pandemic. I'm not even sure what to make of it, and if it counts, I don't think it does on the same level as the other failures. But I wonder if he's approaching the game day skate differently, his pregame conversation with the guys. You know, like what is Keith saying tonight or doing tonight that he feels he has to do a little bit differently to provoke a more positive reaction in a closeout game? Because as we know, they're 0-7 in elimination games in the last 6 years.
Yeah, I think it's more about,
you know, something's got to change.
I think it's more about managing their, you know, the in-game adjustments, but managing their nerves would be the wrong word, but their excitement, containing it, making sure it's channeled into, you know, a positive manner instead of paralyzing them. You know, the guys care. There's nobody's putting a jersey on tonight going, yeah, we'll see what happens. They care, but sometimes the moment gets too much and it, you know, guys hesitate. They overthink, that type of stuff. You know, that's where you're trying to get that out of their game and go play.
Yeah, like, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, was he a ball of nervous energy last year against Montreal? I doubt it. But if he was, he's got to calm down. Right? Maybe he needs a speech like the one we heard out of the Switzerland coach back in 19. You know, maybe this is what Sheldon Keefe needs to bring to the table.
I hope all our players are eager and horny enough to win this game.
Yeah, here's our buddy Luke Wilson, longtime NFL Super Bowl champ. Luke, I don't know if you heard that clip. I'm sure you did. Did Pete Carroll ever ask you guys if you're eager enough and or horny enough to win a big ball game?
No, I'll be honest, he never asked that. You know, I do remember that clip, and I believe that was from the World Juniors.
Yeah, it was in 19, yeah.
Yeah, that I could see that kind of working a little better with 19-year-olds, 18-year-olds, however old they are. You're in the NFL and you're not eager enough to win a ball game, you're not going to be there for longer than a couple weeks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you got to be eager and horny in the NFL, and I think that applies in the NHL
question.
As well. Are you, as a fan, as a Maple Leaf fan, are you eager and horny for a win tonight? I mean, how are you feeling about your boys going into a big game tonight?
Well, I mean, I'm going to put a disclaimer on here because, as you guys know, you probably don't know, but when I was on, you know, SportsCenter with Jay a few times this year, and I was kind of dragging the Bills, and I got a lot of heat. I got a lot of heat from Bills fans. I want to put this out here in this disclaimer. I am a Maple Leaf fan before I say this, okay? Am I excited about tonight? Absolutely not, because I have zero faith that this team will win this game. And you're going to ask, where is this coming from?
Okay.
And even if they win this series, am I going to be excited? No. Because to me, and like maybe this kind of transcends from sport to sport, but like these guys have lost two games where they've been absolutely shelled. Shelled. And it's like, is that really like the goal here? And I think like with the season they had and the talent they've got, like the goal here would be to win the Stanley Cup. You know, I think everybody hopes like deep down, like that's the goal. I mean, you tell me after five games into this thing, yeah, they're up 3-2, but does this look like a Stanley Cup like winning team getting shelled like this?
Yeah, listen, the losses were not pretty. There's no disputing that. I mean, the way that they played in Game 4, that's as bad as it gets in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But I think there's a monkey off the back element here where if they can find a way to win, I believe they are talented enough to be considered one of the best teams in the league. They are. But they've got to change their own reputation, their own narrative, right? Like, you're a diehard fan.
The culture, yeah.
And I think it can change overnight with a win. Like, I think there's so much trepidation in the fan base from fully jumping on board and accepting that this is possible because you've been burned so many times in the past, right? Like, there's just been so many times where you were committed. Last year, I was adamant. Noodles, you can point to this. I said the Leafs are going to beat Montreal in five. I said it everywhere, on this show, other shows, podcasts, everything. When they were up 3-1, I was like, I'm a genius. They're going to blow the doors off these guys in five. And they end up losing and choking away the series in seven. And this year, I've been much more careful. I'm like, it's a 50-50. I don't know. I want to believe the Leafs will find a way to do this, but I don't know if they're going to. But I think the second they do, if they do, it takes a completely different complexion immediately, Luke. Like, immediately, I think you will be like, why can't they win more rounds? Why can't they go on a run?
You just
got to do it first.
You know,
you
I love you,
round.
Man, but I disagree. Even if they do win tonight,
I
disagree.
Don't.
And here's my question. Who's the guy, and I don't mean the star, I mean, who's like the backbone of this team that's going to hold everybody accountable? Let me play the other side of this coin of what you just said. Let's say they win tonight. Who is who is the guy that's going to give a speech in the locker room and be like, hey, guys, you want a playoff series? Yeah, I know there's a lot of pressure, a lot of this, a lot of that. But, like, the goal wasn't playoff series. So although everyone wants to stroll to Marble, shout out our guy Peter, you know, yeah. and just get crushed tonight and go nuts, like, who's the guy in that locker room that's going to say, let's reel this thing in, it's a first-round playoff win, let's focus on winning this whole thing, which is the next step? I don't know that that team has a
that's
guy
a
like that.
That's a great question. Well, Miles, you answer that.
Can I jump? Yeah. It's not going to be a sexy name for you, but it might be a guy like Jake Muzzin, who's been there and done that before. And, you know, he might say, guys have had this feeling. I've been here a couple years. I know what this group is capable of, but there's a lot more work to be done here. Let's enjoy this tonight and get back to work tomorrow. He's a guy who's a grizzled vet, who's come back off of injury. He plays a position that's not very sexy. He's a stay-at-home defenseman who's really physical, and you know, those guys are grunts. You know, they're what would they be in football? Would they be linemen?
Yes.
Yeah, they'd be on the linemen, right?
They're linemen,
I'll tell
right?
You a fun one. Tell you a real fun one you guys are going to love. My rookie year, we stroll into the Super Bowl, all right? I'm a stupid rookie, and it's so now we're in February of 2014. We land on Sunday night, and usually in the NFL, Mondays are no practice. But because with the week off for the Super Bowl, Pete was like, hey, we landed yesterday in New York. We're going to watch a little bit of film. We're going to have about an hour, hour and a half practice. We'll fly around, just helmets on, and then, you know, we'll be into the regular week. We go out there, and it was a guy I was literally standing next to, was kind of dicking around a little bit. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to use that term on here.
Yeah, but he was
joking around, you know, kind of lackadaisical. It's a Monday practice. We're not really focused on the Broncos. We're kind of doing 1v1. And we had a veteran defensive tackle similar to what you just described. He's a veteran guy. He had gotten cut at the beginning of the year. He was re-signed after week two, walked right up to this guy and said, and this was another vet, and said, hey, man, if you don't stop messing around, I'm going to knock you out. And he was dead serious. He's like, I've got one shot at this. He goes, I was cut at the beginning of this year. Any day we could get injured. I probably will never be back in this situation again. And I get that it's a Monday, but we have one shot at this. You better pay attention right now or I'm going to knock you out. Again, and I say knock you out doesn't sound that tough. He used a different saying that I can't say on the radio. I can tell you that much.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, and I'm not saying he needs to go that far, but like, you got to think that like right now, like you need, I would argue that, and again, I'm not in that locker room, but if Muzzin's the guy, in my opinion, that role is just as important as a Marner or a Matthews role, because the playoffs, just like the Super Bowl, the NFL playoffs, probably just like any other playoffs, like you need people to sheriff that locker room, keep the vision, you know, on what it is, especially in a market like Toronto, where everybody's chatting about it. It's all over social media. There's a ton of, you know, distractions. Every time I'm out here in Seattle, every time I go on Instagram or something, all I see is Leaf stuff. And it's like, you need the Muzzins of the team to step up and be like, boys, like, it's all about us in this locker room. Take care of business, on to the next step. And why I don't have any faith in the Leafs is because they're coming out here and like you said, in game four, get it, like just it's just a sign of immaturity to me, if that makes sense.
Well, that's been what has haunted them in the past, and that they have to prove that maturity. They have to prove that they've learned the lessons. Now, we're putting the cart before the horse here and playing hypothetical if they were to win tonight or right. win Saturday in game seven. But it does bring up a very good point that I don't think the fan base has allowed themselves to get to because everyone's so hyper-focused on just one. You know, just win a round. They haven't won a round as a team in 18 years. But if you are such a pot-committed team and you are a team that is absolutely possessed with winning, then the first round is nothing, right? Like, we see championship teams, it's like, call us when we're in the conference final. You know, like, we're right. going there. That's when the dance really begins. And that is the next page. You know, we're not there. They got to get through tonight or Saturday before we can have that conversation. But it's an interesting point, and you know, I am curious how they would react to a series. Well, I think it's worthy of tons of excitement, But it can't be expected, you know, 2 or 3 days of partying and, hey, we've achieved something here. It's one round. And then you got to move on and put your work boots on and try to do it again. You know, you got to do it 4 times to win a cup, as we know. We're chatting with Luke Wilson, our TSN NFL analyst, Super Bowl champ. I'm just seeing the schedule leaks in the NFL. What is the point of this revealing of the schedule when all of the leaks are already out, Luke? Like, was this going on when you were playing? Like, did you basically know who you were playing, when you were playing, where you were playing before the announcement even came?
No, and to be honest with you, like, I can only speak to the NFL, but the NFL does all of this, like, branding, and they've turned this thing into just a money-making machine, which is great for the players, great for the league. But as a player, like, it would be weird when they're like, oh, did you see our schedule or the schedule release? It was like, I mean, I was shooting a couple of notes to the boys today, you know, that are here in OTAs. Like, these guys, they don't know. They don't care. I mean, it's like, I mean, what are we, in May right now? Like, when you show up for training camp, like, you generally don't even know, like, your full – I mean, if you want to look it up, you can. But, like, what – this whole, like, oh, we're revealing the schedule and, like, here's this and here's that. I really think that's just to kind of, like, you know, drum up fan interest. You had the combine last month. Now you get the schedule release and et cetera, et cetera. Like, to me, it's just, like, I mean, complete nonsense where they're just – again, I can't knock the NFL for doing it because I'm sure they get – some money for it, but like,
oh, yeah.
As a player, it really means nothing.
When you played, you get to training camp, you go through everything. Is that when you take a peek at the schedule? Were you always kind of like maybe 1 or 2 weeks out, like not, you know, getting hyper focused on, hey, you know, week 8, week 9, it's like, hey, I got to focus on week 1, maybe week 2, like right after? Or did you kind of lay it out for yourself and go, that one will be a tough one? Or did you even let yourself go a step further and be like, that's a winnable game, that one's going to be a tough one? Like, how did you approach that when you first got to training camp?
Yeah, so in college, and I would consider it a weak mindset, but in college I would do exactly what you said, where I would almost go through our schedule and be like, in that Rice University, there was hardly any, like, these are guaranteed wins. But I would sit there and be like, okay, like, I remember now it's not so much, but the 1 year I'm like, all right, we're playing North Texas in an out-of-conference game. Like, that's a W. You know, okay, we're playing at Texas. Like, that's going to be some tough sledding. It wasn't until I got to the pros, and I think it's a bit of a different animal, but with Pete, and I love this mentality, and I still try and use this in, like, my daily life, where Pete, like, if he ever heard a guy talking about, like, oh, week 9, we're doing this, or, like, week 14, let's, like, circle that one, he really, really emphasized every week is a championship week. And, you know, especially in this league, more so than I think any other league, when you only play 16 games, you know, losses are so detrimental. And I remember my second year, you know, the year we had the crazy comeback in the NFC Championship against Green Bay. You know, most football fans remember that game. What they probably don't remember is that we got the number one seed on the last game. We went 12-4, and we got the one seed for home field advantage on the last week of the season. I think Green Bay, either in week 15 or week 16, I guess, or sorry, game 15 or game 16, one of the two, they lost to Buffalo, which was a huge upset. Buffalo was not good at the time. And it basically cost them home field advantage. So, like, you tell me, you know, a game like that, you know, if we would have played at Lambeau in the end of January versus at CenturyLink with our fans where we barely scraped by on some crazy comeback, like, does that happen? Probably not. So, like, I guess I know I'm getting long-winded with this, but my point is, like, in that NFL, you could lose, you know, to anyone on, and they say on any given Sunday, but it's like, if you're not ready for that week, like, you will get just smashed. You know, the year we won the Super Bowl, we were 13-3. We came out and we were down 21-0 to the, I think it was the 0-7 or 0-9 Bucks that year. Mike Glennon was the quarterback. We came in and ended up winning in overtime. Pete gave an iconic halftime speech. Like, it was really a kind of a character-building moment for us. But my point is, like, if you're looking ahead in that league to, like, oh, in 3 weeks you're playing the Patriots, or, like, we got a divisional game in 2 weeks, you're going to lose a game in there you shouldn't, and you're if you're it could be the difference between making the playoffs, it could be the difference between home field advantage. Like, it's just not the league where you can really look down the road.
Well, you can look to the opening week, obviously. That's what you're preparing for. And the leagues are coming out, and it sounds like the season opener will be on a Thursday, and it'll be the Bills at the Rams. So Bills-Rams will kick off the NFL season. And it also sounds as if the Monday nighter, season opener on Monday Night Football, will be the Denver Broncos against the Seattle Seahawks. And I'm sure you're not surprised by that. Russell Wilson playing his old team on the first Monday Night Football of the season. That probably is the way it should be, right?
Yeah, I think that'll be a very interesting one. Kind of one of those things where I always tend to give the edge on that to defenses. And what I mean by that, I remember when I was playing for the Lions, it might have been like week 4 or 5, somewhere in there. We played the Patriots on either Sunday or Monday Night Football. And it might have even been earlier than that. And, you know, we were in no way, shape, or form even close as good as the Patriots were that year. And we beat them. And I honestly thought the reason that we beat them was because Matt Patricia – you know, he knew Tom Brady so, so well. And obviously the other way around, but that's why I say I kind of give the edge to the defense when, like, matchups like this happen. So no matter what happens in that game, you know, if Seattle wins or if Denver wins, I think it's going to be a complete, like, overreaction, because that's a situation where Russ is going to know exactly, like, what Seattle's going to try and do to him, and Seattle's going to know exactly, like, Russ's strengths, his weaknesses, et cetera. And it just adds kind of another dimension of the chess game that already is the NFL. So as exciting as it'll be, I don't think it's going to be the most, you know, telling or futuristic game, if you will. I'm trying to think of the word there, of how both teams' season will be.
Right. Yeah, it may not necessarily
– right.
Detail what we're looking at come week 17 or week 18. But still, I mean, Russ against Seattle.
It'll be a lot of fun, though.
It'll be
a lot of pettiness. There's a lot of, like, I don't want to say bad blood, but I can guarantee you this. There's a lot of, I don't know if pettiness is the word.
Some animosity
a lot of people there.
Yeah,
there's animosity, like not hatred animosity, but I would say annoyed animosity. There's a lot of that, and that'll be on display, the undertone of the game for sure.
Can't wait for it. All right, buddy, we'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, talk soon, guys.
There's Luke Wilson, long time NFL or Super Bowl champ, TSN football analyst, big Leaf fan, but skeptical Leaf fan. Very skeptical Leaf fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what that means for the Leafs tonight. But listen, what he's preaching is understandable. Like, they have to prove that they're not afraid of the moment, right?
Right.
You're mature enough for the moment. Like, you can't be afraid to lose. You cannot put yourself in a position where you're this close and you forget how to play. You know,
right.
They've been through that ringer many times in the past. They cannot be afraid to lose tonight.
Yeah, you don't want to be paralyzed by the moment.
Yes.
That's the thing. Like,
I hope all our players are eager and horny enough to win this game.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Right. Exactly. All right. Oh, we'll be back. Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. 4 games in the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight. All 4 of them could lead to handshake lines. Maybe we see 0 handshake lines. We'll ask Dregs about that. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, we got 4 games in the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight. Leafs Lightning down in Tampa. Boston looking to hold on against Carolina. Minnesota looking to hold on against St. Louis. And the Oilers looking to hold on against L.A. So it's going to be a fun night. We've got Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider, in here. Dregs, we've been talking about the handshake lines all day. I was predicting we see 3 tonight.
Ooh.
I'm predicting we see 2. Noodle's predicting we only see 1. Do you have a read on that? Do you have a prediction for how many handshake lines we see tonight?
Ooh, that's a good one.
You don't have to name names. Just give us a number.
What if we see none? 0.
That's absolutely an option.
0.
Okay, so 0's been picked. The only thing that hasn't been picked is 4. Grappler, do you want 4?
Grappler? Yeah, you got to put 100 on that, too. You didn't remind him of
Lock
that, too.
Right?
All right, Grappler's on 4 tonight. He sees all 4. No game 7s, at least in this, you know, this daily
routine. So we haven't named the teams that we think are
going to advance?
No, we
haven't
named the
team. I guess you don't have to because you've just taken zero, so you don't think anything's going to happen tonight. O's got three. That's a big number. You got to pick three teams that are going to win tonight. You don't have to say it on the air.
I'm not going to say it on the air. I already text Grappler. I said you privately text Grappler, and whatever happens, happens. Then he'll reveal.
Yep. I'm gonna text my two. I haven't quite figured that out yet. I'm not sure which two. Noodles, you only need one, so that's not going to be
tough
for you.
You got to put some thought to it, too. You don't just start shooting from the hip.
That's right.
You
know?
Yeah, but I mean, there are people that are driving home listening to this.
They want to know.
Are you kidding me?
They want to know.
Like, put it on the line.
All right, St. Louis and Toronto. I'll say it publicly. Forget it.
I got St. Louis, Carolina, Toronto.
There you go. All right, Noodles, you can think on it. It's all
well,
good.
Well, actually, let me think.
You think on it.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
You think on it, okay?
Yeah, let me think on it. I'll get back to you.
All right.
I'll get back to you.
All good. So, the nature of this series with the Leafs and Lightning would suggest that O and I have no idea what we're talking about because it's about counter punches, right? Like Tampa expected to counter. And they've won 16 in a row when they lose a game. It's just a remarkable stat. Like, they'll show up tonight. You know Tampa. That wouldn't that be a shock if Tampa, the Leafs blew out Tampa tonight?
That would be
like,
a
that's
shock.
The most difficult thing to envision.
So
right?
We were talking about this as we were getting ready to do SportsCenter. John Cooper is masterful at planting the seed of doubt directed at the Toronto Maple Leafs without being rude or condescending about it. So I don't know if you saw his quote earlier today, but he says, we've been in some of these situations, we've won these type of games before, but that doesn't mean we're going to. We just can't go out there, throw our sticks on the ice and say, these guys haven't won in the past, so it's ours.
Ooh, that hurts.
So he challenges his own team, but then reminds everybody, including the Maple Leafs, that they haven't won anything before.
Yeah, is that bulletin board material?
Well, I did the same thing with Jack Campbell a couple days ago. He was like, I'm not worried about scoring goals against this guy.
But he's right. Like, they lost, but they put three on the board the other night.
That's right.
Like, they've scored a lot of goals on Jack Campbell.
Well, so he's speaking truth and then kind of taking a subtle shot at the very end where it's masterful work.
It is, but that's what John Cooper does. Like, everything is calculated. Mm-hmm. There has to be adjustments. Now, he has the last change. So he's got an opportunity to try and, you know, mix and match tonight. But I saw that comment today, too, and I thought it was kind of funny because you know exactly what he's doing. He's,
for sure.
You know, saying, hey, our guys have been there. I'm going to challenge them, you know, to push. But, you know, on the other side, you know, we've seen what they've been doing, too. So it gets them thinking. But I don't think Austin Matthews is sitting there tonight going, John Cooper thinks this. Like, you know what? You're in your own bubble.
Yeah.
And I, as a player, I don't know how you guys felt, but, like, I just never worried about what the other coach was saying. Like, that never, you know, that
how
never
would you even find
me.
His quotes if you're doing your own daily routine?
These guys are on Twitter nowadays.
I guess you can find it. Yeah, that's true. If you're on Instagram or Twitter, you'd probably find the quotes.
Yeah.
But, we'll see. So game six, Toronto, Tampa. Obviously, there are nerves there. There's a high expectation for the Leafs to finally punch a ticket. But if it doesn't happen tonight, then they will have another kick at the can on Saturday. That does not apply with Edmonton.
No.
A lot more nerves, I would think, in L.A. with the Oilers. Because if it goes south tonight, you know all of the same questions are coming up. Another spoiled season of McDavid's prime.
My favorite one is going to be McDavid was going to want out.
He's going to want out. You know what, Noodles, it'll be happening by midnight tonight, Eastern time, Pacific time for sure.
Which, by the way, is our fault here in Toronto for creating that narrative that then drifts out west.
Right.
According to Ryan Rashog, James Duthie and I did his podcast earlier this week.
Oh, it's your fault?
Yeah, well, it's more your fault.
It's probably my fault.
It's overdrive. Yeah, you know. No.
Because, I'll say it's
our fault.
I'll take responsibility for that. If the Oilers win, I'll probably demand he gets out of there tomorrow. But
it's not crazy to think that, Hayes. I mean, if they don't win again, and Bob Nicholson, we just talked about it on SportsCenter, like a couple of years ago, he's like, there's something in the water here, and I don't know what it is. So after that, gets a new GM in there, makes a bunch of trades, fires a bunch of coaches. They miss, they lose in the bubble, they get swept by Winnipeg. So if they can't get it done against the LA Kings, whatever was in the water is apparently still there.
Yeah.
So in this day and age, and it's not just saying that McDavid's going to say, I hate Edmonton, I want out of here. Athletes just say, you know what, maybe it's time to do something different.
Well, and I think the frustration for people in Edmonton is, why doesn't that apply to Matthews if the Leafs lose again? And it should. Like, if we're being realistic, if McDavid is so flustered that they can't get it done, why would Matthews share the same frustration?
Because in a year and a half, he gets to pick wherever he wants.
He's got a different contract.
We're a year away from that.
Don't you think these athletes, though, want to finish what they started? You know what I mean? Like, it's like that's, you know, if I'm not going to even go there with Toronto right now, but, like, if it doesn't work out, Austin Matthews isn't going to go, well, you know what, like, that guy wants to dig in. Like, they take a lot of pride. That's their show. This is his show.
Yep.
McDavid, that's his show. Like, to me, it's more circling them going, you can't drag that team through. Like, you know, the Oilers had 104 points this year. They had a pretty good season considering what went on for about 6 weeks. Like, I think change has to happen. Don't get me wrong. But any team that loses in the first round, then the exact same team's not coming back. Like, that's the bottom line is change is happening if you lose in the first round regardless.
Just about how drastic. Like, everyone knows
the goaltending. We're talking about enormous holes.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And goaltending might be among them. Or do you come back?
It's shocking if it's not. If they lose, how does Mike Smith come back with Koskinen?
It depends how you're investing your money. It won't. No, Koskinen isn't coming back.
Maybe he's unrestricted,
you go with Mike Smith and, you know, whatever they've got coming there. But, you know, Evander Kane is going to want to get paid. And you can guarantee Connor McDavid is going to be pushing everybody in Edmonton to get Evander Kane signed to some form of extension. So there's not a lot of money to be spent to go around in plugging those holes in Edmonton.
Right.
But those questions and those concerns, those issues are absolutely going to surface and be loud if they get eliminated by the Kings.
And then don't have to be answered right now. If you win tonight, you win game 7, then you move on, and it doesn't matter what happened throughout, you know, the series and how difficult it was to overcome. What about this Trouba-Crosby stuff? Like, doesn't sound like the league's going to do anything.
No. I mean, that was reported earlier today that Department of Player Safety is not doing anything. Mm-hmm. I think both clubs were informed, and there's probably some level of explanation. I'm told Sid isn't good today. And what that means, I think we can look and see the video, and I was head snapped back. No one is suggesting or indicating that it is concussion, and given his history, that's automatically what we assume and we leap to. But, you know, just the messaging is he's not feeling really good today. And man, what a disaster, you know, obviously for Sidney Crosby, but he has played so well for the Penguins. That line has been dominant in this series. He goes out and the New York Rangers push back in a big way, and it could be series changing.
Yeah, that's, man, we've been pumping his tires for 15 years. We've been doing it with Sid. But this week, we've been talking about him. Like, he's been as dominant as anyone in the playoffs.
And Hayes, when I saw Abrams up, he's one of those guys where, with the, you know, let's say it's a head injury, you're wondering, does he ever come back? It's just that, anyone with multiple concussions, I'm always worried. And I'm like, man, like, how do you say to somebody or your family or your teammates, whatever, I'll be back in a week or whatever? It seems crazy.
Well, that's the first thing I thought of last night, guys, is, you know, we haven't seen this, and knock on wood for him, in years. He's kind of been through that. And now all I thought about was it David Steckel?
Steckel got him in the outdoor game.
And there was, I think Brooks Lake ran into him. There was another time, too. Like, there was, you know, he's had multiple, but, like, that's all I came back to was, like, you know, now you're heading down a road where he's been before, and it was a long road back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, let's hope that's not the case. But until we see him on the ice tomorrow night, there's going to be a ton of nerves, right?
Yeah, and I mean, Pittsburgh isn't happy that nothing was done. But, you know, if you fairly analyze that play, it's a collision. It's... I mean, maybe there's a minor penalty, but beyond that, it's just bad luck. That's the way
it looks to me. Yeah, he steps up and he tries to make a move and he gets him. I mean, it's the nature of the player that leads to a conversation, the injury.
But Trouba's a hard hitter, too.
And like Trouba's a big boy.
He's
a big boy. We'll see. What about Calgary? We haven't even talked about them today. That was impressive last night. Oof. Like, that was an impressive third period.
And it didn't really look so hot. Like, you know, the second period, they were down 2-0 or 2-1 in a game where nothing was happening offensively.
No.
Yep. It came alive last night.
Well, and you know what? It looked to me like there was a higher level of discipline. Not they've taken a ton of penalties per se, but the after the whistle stuff, right, that Calgary can engage in, they seem to just stay away from it. and play hockey, and it served them well.
What is where are the penalties? Like, is that from Bettman saying this nonsense is going on?
Yeah,
and I know there was the cross-check last year. It was Mayfield, I think, with the Islanders. Who did he cross-check from Tampa?
Oh, he buried someone, too.
Kucherov. It was Kucherov.
Yep.
But what did he say? You better call everything this year? Because it's crazy what's going on out there.
Yeah, call it tight and make sure that the regular season standard applies. And look, I think they've been true to form. It's not great for the flow. I mean, how many...
Terrible.
You know, the Tampa-Toronto game, what was it? Game 3, where there was like 12 minor penalties?
I mean,
it's a flow killer. It absolutely is. But, you know, John Tavares said this, I think, in Game 2, where he came out post-game and he said, you know what? We just have to be smarter because the refs have made it abundantly clear. They're only taking one guy, you know. They're not throwing out the coincidental. So, you know, be smarter. When you get taken off the ice, know that it's coming the next time, regardless of the situation.
Right. Yeah. It's. I hope it doesn't continue for another three rounds, though. Like, I really... I understand the messaging. I understand the... You know, it sounds good. Call it like you should. But the reality is, if a physical sport, you could find a penalty on every shift.
You could.
Like, you could find one on every shift. So you're still being subjective. You're still letting a lot go. So why are you not allowing those to go when you're letting other infractions
And when
go?
when you call it that tight, to your point, you can't miss.
No, right? You have to hit everything.
Yeah, and Stamkos was pissed off about that, you know, after Game 5. Right? You felt like you had a stick in the face and it wasn't called, and then he gets called. So that is the issue when you call it this tight, is you take away the element of human error in the judgment process, right? Because you can't miss.
I agree. I just, you know what? I know people were getting, it was a hot button topic where they were saying refs were managing the game. I much prefer that. Manage the game in a way where a penalty is called, but if it's a 50-50, I'd much rather let the game have flow, and especially if it's a neutral zone, you know, nothing, play along the wall, like stuff like that. To me, manage it in a way where allow the players to dictate how the game is going to unfold. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the way I see it. But then again, you've got some other people that are saying, like, just call the penalties and the players
will
sort it
out. Well, I think there's this concern that, you know, the sport is going to revert to 1980s hockey, and it's just not the nature of it. Guys don't play that way anymore.
No.
Like, it's not, if you put the whistle away, that doesn't mean you're talking line brawls and elbows being thrown and hits from behind. That's not going to happen.
No.
Guys don't play like that. The game's too fast. They're committed to a different style.
But more up and down, 5-on-5, hard hitting, back and forth, and
it's the best.
You see who gets the boot. You see who has the better team when it's just 5-on-5 nonstop.
Right. Exactly. I hope it applies to the four games tonight. But we'll see. All right, Drex. Good seeing you, man. Zero handshake lines tonight.
Zero.
Wow. So that's four game sevens in the bank. Four game sevens in the bank.
Bold.
That is bold. Yeah.
Bold.
Well, and on the other side, I guess we'll find out, right? Because the Rangers looking to survive. The Capitals looking to survive. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
And obviously Dallas looking to survive. All right, Dregs, enjoy the games tonight, man. We'll see you again soon.
All right, guys, thank you.
There's Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. We'll come back and again tee up Leafs Lightning again. And the two games in the NBA playoffs as well, where we could see some waving of goodbyes. They don't handshake there, but they wave goodbye. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. So it has been absolutely beautiful weather here in the city of Toronto, and today feels like a July day. It's like feels like 27, feels like 28.
Hot.
So hot. And this is where, if you have a pool, it's probably pool weather. If you don't, you need to find someone that has a pool. And I am I'm getting texts from my wife, my kids, my wife. They're at Jeff and Allison's, our friends. They have a pool just opened. I think the pool's been open for like a week. They just built it, and we've already found a way to weasel our kids in there.
The best. What you got to
really
do is
greasy,
you have to have all access. So if they're out of town, Hayes family allowed to go.
Yeah, we're working on that.
Yeah, that's
we're working
tough.
On that. But it's like they just built the pool.
So what? Do they have like a cabana with a beer fridge and stuff?
I don't know. I haven't been there. It's like been open for 3 days, and our kids have already weaseled their way in.
Well, so, it's greasy if you're the guy that always wheels over to Jeff and Allison's, and you just start guzzling their beer, eating their snacks.
Yeah, it's way. At some point, you need to contribute a lot, like dropping off multiple 2-4s and bottles of wine, and
you gotta reciprocate somehow.
There has to be a reciprocation.
Noodles, is your pool open?
Yep, kids were in it yesterday. I had it cranked up because I, you know, I didn't want them to be cold, so it was like 94 degrees.
It was a stupid question. Do you even go in it?
I went in it once. I've been in it, I think, twice since we've had it. We've been here 4 years.
So what do you do, like put your toe in it or what?
No, I went in like last year. I don't know, went in for 10 minutes or something. Like, I don't go in. What the hell am I going to do in there?
Yeah, you're not
around?
A pool guy. You're not a pool guy.
Where, you know, Magda.
He's got a million-dollar backyard set up, and he went in the pool twice. 5 years.
What if you could take a swimming pill and you just become Michael Phelps out there?
Just flying around doing laps in the pool and stuff? No, I mean.
Swimming guy? I could
Steph,
see you.
Steph just lives out there, floaty. By the end of summer, she's Magda. Just sitting there, just enjoying herself, boy. Like, loves it.
I picture Steph out there on a... I'll bet you she's out there right now. I'd be shocked if she wasn't.
There was a motion sensor in the backyard I got on my phone, yes. Yeah. So,
just to make sure everyone's okay. Anyway, if you got a pool, you're very lucky on days like today. Unlucky that people are weaseling their way into your backyard.
So do you
like
pin it out of this parking lot to this guy's house?
No, I'm going to watch the game. I'm going home to watch the game. But I don't know how long they're going to stay. I may not see them.
Just text the guy and say, buddy, fire the game on in the backyard and get some beers ready.
Oh, he'll have the game on. He's a super fan. Big fan. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. That might be the case. Maybe I go over there for a dunk in a Leaf game. Just
go to Leaf. It's 10 o'clock at night. You're still there.
It's a Thursday night. My kids have gone home. I'm just hanging out.
Yeah.
Anyway, Leafs Lightning tonight. How are we feeling? I don't know. I'll admit, it's a 50-50 vibe, and I think we will revert back to whoever scores first likely wins the game tonight. Like, that's been the trend lot in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It was not the case in Game 5, and I think we'll know a lot about the Leafs in the first period. I expect to see Tampa come out flying. Will the Leafs match it or exceed it? We'll know by the 10-minute mark of the first period if they're there to play.
I think it'll be a good game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout either way. I think it'll be a good game tonight. So, see how it unfolds. Yep. I can never predict. That's why I don't like predicting. But I'm hoping for a good game. That's all I care about.
Yeah, I mean, that's again, we've been talking about it the last 2 days. If you're the Leafs, you've got to give yourself a chance to win tonight. Like you can't be going into the third period down 4-0 or 5-1 or something. Give yourself a chance to win. Make it a one goal game either way. Going into the third period and give yourself a chance to win.
You just hope that the disappointments in years past actually do what they say, and it's a motivating factor. They don't want to feel that again and ride the wave. Like, Montreal rode the wave after they came back against the Leafs, and they had something to build on, and it was just it's like a feeling and an energy where you know you're going to have a good chance to win. You just got the mojo. So hopefully that's last game is something that they got a kick out of and got horned up, as our buddy from Switzerland said, and they say, we want to keep doing this.
I hope all our players are eager and horny enough to win this game.
Yeah, that's right. Well, one thing I want to see carry over that I think would say a lot about a lesson learned in Game 5 is the physicality of Austin Matthews tonight. Like, you're not in the same building, you're not going to get the same support. But I think there's going to be a lot of Leaf fans down there. I think a lot of Leaf fans are working their way into that building. And I think if he plays with a meanness, if he leans into it physicality-wise, I think that's going to go a long way to, like, setting the tone for the rest of the team.
Of course.
Right? Like, scoring goals, it goes without saying, that leads to a big buzz on the bench. But I think a guy of his stature, stepping outside of his comfort zone and throwing hits, that's the kind of thing that can send a message to the rest of the team. Like, we're here to play.
I always talk about being physical and finishing your hits regardless of who you are, because you never know when it can turn into an opportunity.
Yep.
You could injure a guy. You can create a turnover. You could make a guy not as go as hard in the corner if he knows he's just going to get melted by Austin Matthews. All different kinds of positive things can happen simply by being physical. And I don't think it's too much to ask.
No, it's not. It's mandatory. It should be mandatory.
Yeah, you guys talked about it. Noodles had the best line. It's an investment into the series and into your teammates.
Agreed. Every hit is an investment. That's the way. And it started early in the series, and you got to continue that on. That's the way I see it.
It's got to be continued for sure. So the handshake lines tonight. Noodles, you have one handshake line tonight.
Carolina.
You got Carolina closing on Boston tonight. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Antti Raanta going for the Canes.
I mean, Carolina's a hell of a team. Yep. They've battled some adversity. I know Boston coming home. I just, you know,
It's a tough building to close in, I find.
It is. It's a hell of a building, and that team's really good. But, you know, you asked me to choose one
team.
Yeah,
that's right.
I stayed away from everything. I think Carolina's a very good team.
Okay. I'm on two handshakes. You're on three handshakes tonight. Dregs was on zero handshakes.
Zero.
He is a proponent of game sevens. And if you're just a hockey fan, that's probably what you're rooting for tonight,
yeah.
Right, is chaos, game sevens. All right, boys, we're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.